Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth, with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Jody Lamont.
And you're listening to the Living by Design show. We are so excited that you're able to join us this evening. Everyone that's going to be joining us in the chat room, everyone that's going to be dialed in listening to us, and all of the archive download listeners. We have thousands of archive download listeners, and we really appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to our fabulous shows. We have an outstanding guest that's going to be joining us this evening. This guy is, he's just absolutely one in a million. He's just one in a million. I mean, literally, he's actually one in a billion. But we will get to him shortly because I am very anxious to bring him on the line. So I just want to do a little bit of intro here and hope everyone is in the holiday spirit. I know the holidays are upon us, and sometimes it can be a stressful time, but sometimes it could also be fun. Are you ready for the holidays, Tony?
Not really. I haven't gotten things together yet, but I'm one of those folks that, you know, the last week down in the stretch, I get it done.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, there has been a lot of change this year in our country, some good, some bad. But we have an opportunity to start over and make some wonderful changes in 09, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And I just want to go ahead, Tony, and give our listeners a little bit of preview of some upcoming show topics because I am very anxious to get to our guest. Next week we're going to be speaking with Dr. Maggie McCauley, and Dr. McCauley is a fabulous psychologist that works in the area of people that suffer from pack rat syndrome and the hoarding syndrome. And according to statistics, this is a very, very serious problem in our country. Millions of people suffer from that illness. And Dr. Maggie is going to be available to help us with that. She has a fabulous six-step process that has helped millions of people to overcome that problem. So we'll be talking to her next week, and I'm really looking forward to that. And the following week, Tony and I will be off for the Christmas holiday, enjoying the holidays. And then we'll be back on Wednesday, December 31st, for a listener call-in show. And that is going to be on the eve of the new year. So we're going to give you an opportunity to call into the show and share with us, number one, what are you grateful for? I know we can all come up with something. And number two, what will you do differently in 2009 to improve your life? As you all know, here on the Living by Design show, we're all about designing life on your terms because we all have that capability. We can design our lives as we want them to be. So we're interested to know what you're going to be doing different in 2009. Not necessarily a resolution, but if you'd like to share that, that's okay too. We also have a fabulous lineup of guests for 2009, so stay tuned for that because we'll be making some announcements about some of those upcoming guests. And again, listeners, tonight, the dial-in number, if you would like to call in and ask a question of our guests, it's 646-478-3060. Okay? So, Tony, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Absolutely wonderful. Well, let me just give you a little bit of introduction. Our guest tonight, Mr. Bill Bartman. Mr. Bartman is a fabulous individual. He's what he calls a billionaire business coach. Now, he is the only self-made billionaire who has exclusively devoted his life to teaching others. Now, Tony, when I heard that, it touched my heart because, as you know, being a life coach, it really means a lot to me when someone can devote their life to teaching others. I mean, being a millionaire, billionaires, I mean, every millionaire and billionaire is doing what? Totally focusing on how they can be richer, how they can make more money, right?
You would think so, yeah.
So this individual is extremely unusual. He's very admired by me, and I'm sure many, many others, and he's just very unique and a wonderful individual, and he has so many accolades, way too many accolades for me to even begin to talk about on my show. He has been named the National Entrepreneur of the Year by NASDAQ, USA Today, Merrill Lynch, the Kauffman Foundation. His companies have been named by Inc. Magazine as one of the 500 fastest-growing companies in America 4 years in a row. He's been seen on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News, CNN, CNBC. I mean, his expertise just spans the globe, and he is just absolutely fabulous. So I am going to – I'm so anxious and excited. I just can't wait here. I am going to go ahead and bring – Mr. Bill Bartman on the line. Mr. Bartman, are you there?
I am indeed, Kathy, and thank you. Tony, good to hear you, and let's have a great show.
Absolutely, we're going to have a great show because you have a lot of good information to share with us. So, Bill, you know, I'm going to jump right in, and I'm going to ask you to just talk a little bit about your humble beginnings because when I read your story, it touched my heart so much, and the way you got started and you know, your story, just it's amazing. So talk to the listeners a little bit about that.
Well, I will, and I'm happy to do that, but with one caveat, and that is that I never want to be one of those guys that tells you that you can do something because I did something, because that's pretty stupid, really. I mean, otherwise we'd all
play
golf like Tiger Woods, or we'd play basketball like Michael Jordan. You know, and so when I talk about the beginning part of my life, I don't ever want to be in the category where I'm crying poor or trying to sound like I had it worse than somebody else, because every one of us, every single person that's listening in, however they're doing that, every one of us have things that go on in our life, and when those things go on in our respective lives, we really don't care what somebody else went through. I mean, you know, it's like the adage, if you're drowning in 6 feet of water, you really don't care that somebody else is drowning in 600 feet of water. Well, with that, now that I've qualified it, I have kind of an interesting story and kind of an interesting background. I'm one of eight kids, and I was born on the wrong side of the railroad tracks, and my mom was a person who cleaned other people's houses for a living, and my dad is a janitor, and though they both worked like every day of their life, at least that's all I can remember is them always working, they didn't make very much money at the jobs they had. I mean, the jobs, just as you can imagine, didn't pay very well, and with eight kids and mom and dad, there was 10 of us to feed, and with their earnings, we didn't do very good, so we most of the time got by on handouts from Catholic Charities, Salvation Army, welfare. And I mean, we remember holidays because that's when we got a food basket. I mean, that was like, you know, the biggest day of the year for us because somebody we didn't know would come and bring us food. And we'd go, wow, like that's really cool. And at 14, I finally decided to leave home because I, you know, and it wasn't an abusive arrangement. It was just one of those things that you make decisions in your life, and the lifestyle that our family had been living in is we were going from one rent house to another. And by the time I was 14, we had moved in and out of eight different rent houses, and two of them had been condemned by the city as unfit for human habitation. And so at 14, I left, and I didn't run away, and I wasn't mad, and they weren't mad at me. I just left, and I went and joined a traveling carnival. And I did that for 2 years. I was a carny, traveled the southwestern part of the United States, and I was one of those kids that showed up in your hometown, and, you know, when you would be walking to Midway eating a turkey leg or drinking a Budweiser, I'd be the guy yelling at you from some booth saying, hey, come here. Hey, you, come here. And that was my job for 2 years, and then I finally upgraded and joined a street gang. And most people wouldn't think that was an upgrade, but from where I was at, that was up. And during those 2 years that I was a member of this gang, I really think I only learned two things. I learned how to fight, and I got pretty good at it, and I learned how to drink, and I got really good at that. And by the time I was 16, I was a full-fledged alcoholic. And so when you're a drunk and a carny, you know, going to school isn't very important, and it wasn't important to me. So I didn't go any more often than I had to, and ultimately I spent 5.5 years in high school without graduating. So that was my early life, and, you know, like I say, it doesn't make me better or worse than anybody else, because we all have stories, but that's kind of where I was when I met the woman who changed my life, and that's my girlfriend, Kathy. She and I met when I was 14, and she was 11. We dated for 10 years, and we've now been married for 35, and she's still my girlfriend.
Wow. And the reason I asked you to give us a little bit of background, Bill, as you well know, working with people as a coach, a lot of times people use the excuse that, well, I came from here and I came from there, and, you know, woe is me.
Yeah. Well,
and
Kathy,
I wanted you to tell that story because, you know, everyone has a story to tell. Like you said, we all have issues, we all have traumas, and we all have drama in our life, so
yep.
We have to overcome that.
Absolutely. And when we, and maybe it'd be better in the next segment, let me tell you a little story about how Kathy caught me doing that. And she is solely and singularly responsible for whatever it is I am today, whatever that is, and different people might have a different definition. But when this girl was 14 years old, she changed my life by catching me, as you just described, doing one of those woe is me pity parties that she slapped me out of it, so to speak. And I'm really excited about telling you the story because it is so much everybody's story that we need somebody in our life who will just kind of, you know, say, hey, time out. You know, yeah, you had it bad. Yeah, some crap happened. Yeah, some things occurred in your life. But, you know, hey, man, let's talk about tomorrow, what we're going to do tomorrow, and not yesterday, and what happened to you a week ago, a month ago, or a year ago. Let's talk about the future. And I really want to talk to you about that.
You have no idea how right on time this what you're saying is. It's amazing. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we all have situations in our life that can just knock us down. It could knock us down, but we can't stay down.
No, we can't. And
we
the sooner,
over that.
Yeah, the sooner we come to grips with that, Kathy, that we have a choice and we have some control. And I know people who are in the middle of a divorce or middle of bankruptcy or somebody's foreclosing on their house or the IRS just towed away their automobiles or, you know, whatever it is that's going on in their life. And right now that has to be the most traumatic and the most anxious moment they may have ever experienced in their life. And right now it'd be real hard for them to be looking up and looking out and saying, hey, tomorrow's going to be a good day.
That's
now,
right.
Now, you know, we have to understand we have control over these things.
Right. We don't have control over circumstances, Bill, but we do have control over our response to it.
Amen, sister. Amen. And that's the only thing that matters anyhow. It doesn't matter what they do to you. I mean, I have been, you know, I have been through the grist mill. I have been a millionaire 3 times, bankrupt 2x, billionaire 1x. I've been indicted. I've been on trial for my life. I've been famous. I've been infamous. I've been on milk cartons and post offices as well as CNN. So yeah, you know, I've seen every, you know, I know that's an exaggeration. I have seen almost every kind of type of situation there is in life. You know, from the death of loved ones to business failure of cataclysmic proportion to successes that some people might not even be able to comprehend, like, you know, how to be worth $3.5 billion and, you know, how to be ranked as the 25th wealthiest person in America, starting from where I started from. Well, and all of that gives me, and all it gives me is just a perspective, and a perspective that we really do have control over how we react to the stuff that happens in our life.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, since you're saying that, it makes me want to ask you, and I know you contribute a lot of it to your wonderful companion, Kathy. Isn't it amazing that her name is Kathy? But
yeah. See, and I don't know which one got here first, and I never ask a woman their age.
I know.
But we'll assume my Kathy is a lot older than you, Kathy.
Oh, I don't know. But aside from your wonderful companion, what else do you contribute to your success? I mean, what did you pull from? How do you get over those major obstacles and hurdles that you just mentioned?
Going from
billionaire status to bankruptcy, and you know, how do you pull your strength out?
There are only three things, and we all have them. We all have the same three things: faith, family, and friends. Now, which one do you rely on today, and which one will be more important tomorrow? And, you know, is it always one-third? No. No more than marriage is ever 50-50. Whichever one is most important to you right now, that's the one you got to count on. That's the one you got to look to. That's the one you got to rely on. That's the one you got to be spending some time with right now. If things are ugly in your life, then which of those three sources, faith, family, or friends, can you go to and say, I just need some help, and I need somebody to listen, I need somebody to care, I need somebody to encourage me, I need somebody to, you know, maybe just give me a place to get it off my chest, or maybe I need a helping hand, or you know, it doesn't matter what it is you need. Those three sources are eligible for every single person on the face of this planet.
Yes, I hear you. Bill, my radio show has lots of listeners that dial in, and I just want to go to the lines, and if there is anyone that has a question, I want to just make sure they're only listening or that they don't have a question. So you
sure.
Callers that are on hold, you just hold on, and I'll get to you here shortly. I'm going to go down the list here. Area code 954, you're on the line with Mr. Bill Bartman. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I do have a question. My name is Mary Ann, and I'm calling from Hawaii.
Hi, Mary Ann. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to talk with you. It's very exciting. I have a couple questions for you. I just was reading an article.
I want you to lower your expectations.
Okay.
No, that makes your job so much easier.
I worked for some big companies that did well, and with the economy, they've lost business, and I'm starting to be an entrepreneur myself. However, I was in an accident last year. I had a lady drive her SUV through a wall of a hotel lobby, and technically I'm on disability.
No, she was after you. Anybody that tried that hard to get you, they were after you.
Well, it wasn't meant to be for that job for me. So I have some other opportunities, and I'm trying to promote them now, and I was just wondering, what is your secret to success for? I have some new products, some therapeutic products, and I'm very excited to take them out to the world. I know a lot of people can benefit from them, and I'm just wondering what your suggestions are. I'm looking, trying to maybe get a grant, an angel investor. Any suggestions that you could guide me to help me promote the business so that I can travel and bring these products to other people that can benefit from them?
Yeah, there are some general comments, and they aren't just, you know, the old saw or that thing you tell everybody, but there are some things that are kind of universal, and there are two from two different perspectives. And one, you're already doing it. You're doing something about it. You're on this call. You're on the call with Kathy saying, I want to learn, I want to get some information, I want to do something. That automatically separates you from about 95% of the people in the world who want something but don't do anything about it. You're already doing something. So add a girl, that's good. Now to the second thing, how do we jack it up? How do we put it on steroids? How do we, you know, make it go faster than it's going all by itself? And you talk about grants, you talked about, you know, getting angel funds or investors or somebody to help you fund it. Nobody will fund a proposal unless you can articulate what it is you're doing and how it's going to work and what's going to happen down the road. And that essentially is a business plan. And I know when I say business plan, everybody cringes and goes, oh, my God, that sounds like, you know, something you have to do to, you know, pass your PhD thesis at Harvard or something. You know, a business plan can be three or four pages. I mean, it can be on a big chief legal pad with a number two pencil. And, you know, just try to stay inside the lines with your crayon. All you need to be able to do is to articulate who, what, where, why, when of the business. And if you can do that, there are just so many people who are anxious to help. And let me give you a website. There is an angel foundation. They have over 5,000 investing groups, each one called an angel group. And they're on the Kauffman, KauffMan.org. website. And the Kauffman Organization is a nonprofit organization that puts on the National Entrepreneur of the Year award every year, and they do more for entrepreneurship in America than any organization that I know of. And they have a listing on their website for 5,000 different angel funds that are in the business of helping people and lending them money, but none of them will help you until you write a business plan. So you need to maybe get some help locally or with someone you know to help you knock out a quick business plan. And from there, that door swings wide open.
And if
okay,
you don't
great.
Mind, I'm going to just jump right in here. Did you say your name was Lydia?
Marianne,
I'm sorry.
Marianne, Lydia, they both sound exactly alike.
Well, my middle name isn't Lillian, so Marianne Lillian, and I'm out in Hawaii, so I'm the Hawaiian Lily goddess out here on vacation trying to create my business plan. I'm away from people, so I'm on the computer doing all that. So
right.
I have some life coaches.
I was just going to jump in and just let you know that there are so many sample business plans on the web. If you Google business plan sample, example business plan, or however you want to type it in there, you will get a lot of hits.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And Marianne, let me just tell you, I'm not trying to sell you anything. Trust me, I'm not in this for the money. I have a whole program that I put on the internet. So it's a web-based program to teach people how to write a business plan and a marketing plan, loan proposal, and all that kind of stuff. And it's like for $100 a year you join for this membership. And it's at billionaireu.com. And again, I'm not pushing it or trying to sell it to you, but if you're really interested in trying to figure out how to do that, I've got 29 videos on there that you get for $100. You can stream them or put them on your iPod or MP3 or whatever you want to do. And you'll not just get a 2-minute answer, you'll get a 20-hour answer.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, that's perfect. It's just I'm a female, a businesswoman that's on disability, so I have to watch what I have coming in and everything like that with my benefits, as well as just because of the ongoing medical expenses that I've had from this accident. And
indeed.
So I'm just trying to do that. And secondly, now, I have a couple of friends. Do I want to try and do something with friends, or just go through straight angels and just deal with business professionals, so I don't have, I don't want to say a conflict, when business and friends or family get together and money is an issue, sometimes it does become a conflict. Should I just go to an outside person so that way they can take a look at the whole business plan, critique it, and that way I would, utilize them instead of being critiqued by my family?
Marianne, you're a smart lady, and you've already answered the question for yourself. If you want to screw up a friendship, get in business with them. No, you've answered the question. You did it very well. You know in your heart what you need to go do. And God bless you and good luck and atta girl.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much, Marianne, for your call. And I'm going to take one more call here. It looks like this may be an international call. Caller 118-505-144-843. You're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment? Hello? Okay, not sure. That person may just be listening. So, Bill, since she brought up a very good point about a business plan, a lot of people really don't understand what a business plan is, because I'm also a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first questions I ask my clients when they try to start a business, they want to open a business where they sell flowers, a flower shop,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have a clue what a business plan is.
Yeah, and Kathy, and I know from experience, I'm 60 years old. I've been in business for 40 years, and I've had some success, and of course, like everybody else, I failed too. But that's okay. That's part of the learning curve. I have never seen a business. I've never met a business. I've never come across a business that was successful that did not have a business plan. Now, and that's me with 40 years of business experience, and I've done business on 5 different continents. It isn't like I just, live in Oklahoma and never leave the state. It's a universal truth that in order to succeed in business, you have to be able to do more than just want to succeed, and you have to be more than passionate about it, and you have to be more than just having a good idea, and you have to have more than a good product. You have to have this plan, this written evidence of what do you want to do and how are you going to do it and what is it going to take to get there. And you're writing this business plan for two people, one for yourself to make sure you've asked and answered questions that you need to be asking and answering, no matter what the answer is. At least if you've asked and answered, then it's your answer. And then the other person you're writing it for are the people that you want to bring into your business, whether it be your banker or a lender or investor or angel fund or mother-in-law, whatever we call those people who fund our aspirations. They have a right to see more than you excited. And that's what most people who start out in business, they just get all excited and go, oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. This is going to be wonderful. I'm going to make $1 million. I'm going to save the world. I'm going to do all these things. And though I love it when I hear those words, because that means you at least have, as we talked to Marianne, the first 95%, good. But now you need something more. You need to be able to write it down.
Exactly. Someone in the chat room, we have a chat room also open, and they talk, and someone mentioned the word vision, and a vision is absolutely what you need. I mean, the vision is your what. I always tell my clients, vision is your what, your mission is your how, and then that's how you construct your business plan, because if you don't have a plan of where you're going, how in the heck do you know if you're going to get there?
Well, absolutely, and how will you know if you're off course? How will you know if you're going fast enough? How will you know if you're going too slow? How will you know what success even looks like if you haven't thought about that before you start? I mean, you wouldn't go on a car trip without having a destination. You wouldn't just get in the automobile and say, okay, I got a full tank of gas, and I got lunch, and I got 2 bottles of water, and okay, I'm going now.
Right.
You'd say, no, I live in L.A., I want to go to Sacramento. Okay, well then, good.
You have
now
a roadmap.
Now you know where you want to go, and you say, okay, I know how far it is, I know how long it's supposed to take, I know which highway to take, I know when I have to stop and go to the bathroom. You know, all the things that are relevant and important, you've thought about them. Now, did you really think about everything? Heck no. You know, there will always be surprises in life.
But that's
one of
have your plan.
Yeah, indeed. That is, though, the plan is to be ready for the surprises in life.
Right. Exactly.
I have one other question, too. I know where I want to take this market is one to go on the cruise ships, their therapeutic products. Now, I've never done international business. Say, example, I know there's a lot of customers in ports in Turk. How would I write a business plan for that also, too? I've asked some real estate friends, you know, how to maybe open up a shop down there, a gift shop, so, you know, customers can buy the products that they can benefit from them. What do you suggest on that? Because that's one of my little long-term plans, is that's where I know to take it. I know there's, you know, 500,000 cruise line customers that will purchase the product, or I'm hoping.
Well, yeah, the whole part would be where the rubber meets the road. You know, it's, again, good idea, you know, good theory, and I'm beginning to hear the plan starting to come together. So, Marianne, you're getting closer than you think, girl. You know, you already got the components. You just maybe haven't yet written them down and put them into the right order. And when you do, that's when you begin to see something of like, well, is that where I start or what comes first? And the way I think about business planning is just like that trip from Los Angeles to Sacramento. Where are you at and where do you want to go? Those are the two most important things you need to understand first of what does success look like when you have 1,000 customers or 5,000 customers or 500,000 customers, and I don't care the number, you get to pick it, and they say, okay, then that's my destination, but I can't have that tomorrow, and I'm not going to have it by next week, so how do I back up from that destination and keep reversing course until I get to where it is I am right now? That will then tell me what I need to do next. And that is, you know, such an easy drill to do when you think about it, and yet 99% of the people in the world don't do it. They just want to jump from where they're at to where they want to end up. Well, in life, we mostly have to go in phases. We have to go in steps. I mean, it's kind of like learning how to walk or learning how to ride a bike or learning how to drive a car or even learning how to put makeup on. You know, and I'm a guy. I've never done the makeup thing. But you can only imagine you do all those things better now than you did the first time you tried to do them. Well, that just comes with practice and sequencing.
Right. And thank you so much, caller. I'm going to go to area code 678. Area code 678, you're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 678. Area code 678.
Hi, Kathy.
Yes.
I just came on. I forgot about the call, but I wasn't for sure what industry Mr. Bartman was in.
I have been in 7 different industries over the course of my life. Today all I do is coach people or help people and teach them how to start and grow their business, because I think that's kind of what I'm supposed to be doing the rest of my life. But I have practiced law for a while, so I've been a lawyer. I've been in real estate investments. I've owned over 10,000 apartment units. I've been in the oil and gas business. I've actually drilled oil wells. I've owned a trucking company. I've been in a retail business. I've been in a finance business, been in a debt collection business, been in a home healthcare business. I don't say that in a flippant way. I've done a lot of different things. And what I've really learned, and this is what's so important I hope to share with you, is it doesn't matter what business you're in, there are some universal rules. And so the one that Kathy and I talked about a minute ago about doing a business plan, it doesn't matter whether you're opening a flower shop or a massage parlor, you still better have a business plan. Does that make sense?
Does that answer your question, Colin?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, so I will put you back on hold. If you do have a question or comment, I will come back to you shortly, okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Bill, I wanted to ask you, because some folks are just joining us and just joining the second half of the show, and you said at the beginning the three things, faith, family, and friends.
Correct.
And you
faith,
mentioned...
Faith, family, and fun.
And
I said friends.
Oh, did you say friends? I thought you said
yeah.
fun. Okay.
Yeah. So you talked about faith, family, and friends, and you also talked about that person who absolutely got you straight. And when you were in the pity, having the pity party, could you elaborate
sure.
what it was she did? How
sure.
did she pull you up and pull you out? Because so often you hear so many times you got to do it yourself. There's nobody can do it for you, but in your comment, it was her help and her motivation or whatever she did. So can you elaborate on that just a little bit more?
Absolutely, I'd love to. And again, for those people coming in later, I'm talking about my wife of 35 years, a lady who, prior to marrying her, I dated for 10 years, and she and I met when I was 14 years old and she was 11 years old. So we have kind of known each other from the beginning of time to now. And I came, and again, if you weren't there for the beginning of the call, I came from a really kind of dysfunctional family background and high school dropout and alcoholic, druggy, gang member, you know, all those kind of things that you kind of wish weren't on your resume, but they are, they're there. And so what had happened, and this is the story, when I was 17 years old and Kathy was then 14, we'd already dated for 3 years off and on, and one night I was driving Kathy to work. At 14, she had a job. She was a Girl Scout counselor. And so at 14, I'm taking her to this Girl Scout camp outside of the town we lived in. I'm driving in my automobile. We're going on the highway. And I can tell you right now, 40 years later, exactly what stretch of the highway I was on. I could tell you what I was wearing. I could tell you anything about that event because it was one of those epiphany kind of moments where you get it. And what had happened is we're driving along, and I'm talking, saying, you know, whatever it is I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, Kathy, this little shy 14-year-old girl, just yells out at the top of her voice, "Stop the car!" And with that, she's slapping the dashboard with her hand. Now, those two things are so far out of character for her because she's a shy, retiring, introverted person. And, you know, she wouldn't say poo if she had a mouthful. And to slap the dashboard of the car, I mean, this girl didn't do anything physical like that. So I am just petrified in that nanosecond of time when I'm hearing her say, "Stop the car," and slapping the dashboard. I'm wondering, what's going on? What happened? You know, I don't even know what it is I said, but something just happened with this poor girl, and I am so alarmed by her reaction. It's so strange, so foreign, that I don't even ask her. I just immediately pull the car over to the side of the road. So I drove the car over onto the side of the road, onto the gravel. You can hear the gravel crunching underneath the tires. The car comes to a stop, and I'm staring at her. With that, she jumps out of the car. She, slams the car door behind her. And she's standing out on the side of the road. And this is at night. She's standing out at the side of the road, and I still don't have a clue as to what's going on. She sticks her head in the passenger window where she had just exited and looks across at me, and she said, "I never want to see you again."
Mm.
And I am stupefied. I mean, I don't have a clue what's going on. And thank God she kept on talking. She says, "I never want to see you again." She said, "I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, but I can't stand being around you when you put yourself down." What I had been doing, and I didn't even know it because it was so subconscious, it was so unconscious, is whenever I would describe me, whenever I would talk about me, whenever at all, and I don't exaggerate, say it was every single time, but it was so much it became just part of me that I would say things like, "Well, what do you expect from a guy like me? Or what do you expect from a high school dropout? Or what do you expect from an alcoholic?" or what do you expect from a guy with my family? I would stick those kind and type of words, and that isn't a direct quote, but I'd stick those kind of words in all the time, as if I was building an excuse, as if I was giving myself permission to be a loser from nowhere, you know, because I had protected myself with all these fancy words that I don't have to do good because I'm a dropout. I don't have to be successful because my dad's a janitor. I don't have to do anything because, you know, the world's against me anyhow. I had built up all this stuff around me, and here's some 14-year-old girl calling me out. Some 14-year-old girl is prepared to stand on the highway by herself in the dark, and what she's doing is just telling me, you know, no BS here. You know, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, but I can't stand being around you. Well, at that moment, the light bulb went on, and I realized what I had been doing to myself, the damage I was inflicting by using all those BS excuses. Oh, no, they're really true. I mean, I really was a druggie. I really was an alcoholic. Really was a high school dropout. My dad really was a janitor. So it isn't like they were, you know, they were made up, but I was using them. I was using them for reasons to continue to be a failure rather than just separate myself from them. And it took this 14-year-old girl, you know, back in those days, we didn't know what self-affirmations were. I mean, nobody used that kind of language back then. But what I was doing was a negative self-affirmation. I was pushing myself down by telling me a lot how stupid I was and how unprepared I was. And you know, now you know why I love this woman so much and why she's such a big part of my life. Because you can only imagine if that's what she did when she was 14, well, guess how much help and how much fun she's been, and guess how much of an assist she's been in my life ever since that moment. You know, I mean, she is just an amazing, amazing person. And, yeah, you know, we're right. We do have to do these things, you know, on our own, by herself, for herself. But remember that faith, family, and friend things? We really do have people who, if we open the door, if we'll just shut up and listen every now and then, maybe they'll come and help.
Right. Absolutely.
Did that answer your question, Tony?
Yeah, great story. Great story.
You know, she's a great woman. You know, it is so easy for me to talk about her because she's just like the neatest person that's ever walked the face of the earth. She is just so cool. And you know, and it's not about physical things. It's not about, you know, all those other things. It's about her spirit. This woman is just like the neatest person that's ever existed on the face of the planet Earth, and I am so fortunate because she loves me.
Well, wow. I have to give you credit for recognizing that she was valuable to you. You know, because oftentimes, you know, we're in a slump or in a dump or depression or whatever, and we don't recognize that we have those valuable people that are trying to pull us up.
Well, Kathy, at 17, I wasn't very well educated. I was still a high school dropout. I was reading at the fifth grade level. I didn't have a lot going for me in terms of, you know, what people call smarts. You know, I certainly had some street smarts because I'd been on the street for a long time already. But I knew I really liked her, and I knew she really liked me, and I knew she was going to be important in my life, and I didn't know how important. I never could have imagined that, you know, all these years later we'd still be laughing and giggling about each other. But I knew even then I didn't want her to leave my life. And she
God
just,
brings people to your life for a reason.
Yeah, and she just threatened to leave. She just threatened to bail out. She just threatened to walk away if I didn't change the way I dealt with me.
And that's what you needed. You needed that fear of her going away.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you this. What about the people that don't have a Kathy? What about the people that don't have that outstanding individual that can motivate them and help them through it? How do they dig down deep and find the motivation or the strength to overcome some of their obstacles they're dealing with their lives?
Sure, and that's why I said faith, family, and friends, and I said you probably won't have all three of them at the same time, and you won't, and don't use them one-third, one-third, one-third. But if you don't have that special person in your life right now, well, the first thing, if you think you don't, I challenge that and ask you to reevaluate, because they may be right next to you right now and you're just not listening. You're just not paying attention. But even if they're not really in your life right now, let's assume they're not. And I don't believe that for a second, but let's just play that game and say, I don't have anybody. Say, okay, then faith, whatever religion, whatever theology, whatever spirituality you believe in, I am not here to convert anybody to anything. I am happy that they all be what they want to be and believe what they want to believe, but we all believe in something. And maybe that's where you find your source of strength, and whomever you look to for that spirituality, and great. And if that isn't there, if you don't have that, and boy, you know, I don't believe that for a second either, but let's just play that game and assume you don't have that, well, then certainly the third one must be there, and that would be somebody you can call a friend, somebody who will take your phone call right now, somebody who would, you know, at least be willing to listen, somebody who would go have a cup of coffee with you tomorrow, somebody who likes you. And they don't have to be some world-class person. They could be anybody who is your quote-unquote friend. And I'm not talking Paris Hilton BFF kind of thing. I'm just talking somebody who really, you know, just cares about you as a person. Now, I don't believe there's a person walking the face of the earth today that doesn't have one of those three. Most of us are fortunate enough to have two of those three, or maybe three of those three. If we'll just open our eyes and look for them, they're right there in front of us right now. We just tend to ignore them, and we want to live in our own, gee, my life stinks, and you know, I got laid off at General Motors, or I got downsized at Merrill Lynch. And I don't care whether you're a blue-collar, or no-collar, white-collar, or yellow-collar. It doesn't matter. We all have these three things in our life if we'll just look for them.
I absolutely agree. And I think a lot of times people, and I know a lot of people that are listening to this show tonight, they think that there's this big, mega, major secret to being a millionaire or a billionaire. And they think that, you know, that if I do these things that, you know, I'm going to make $1 million. But
baloney. Yeah.
I know.
You know, the only people making money doing that are the people selling that crap. And nothing personal. I mean, you know, disrespect to anybody in the industry. But all these people who are selling the secret and the five steps and the three steps, and you got to have two of these and one of those, and you got to buy my book, my DVD, my CD, or my seminar. You know, and we do those things. We offer them. So I'm not suggesting everybody in the world that does it is evil. But none of us have an answer. None of us have the secret.
We have it inside of us.
Yes, each one of us already possesses it. It is how we think about ourselves. Once we look at ourselves and accept us for who we are, what we are, the way we are. I did not change one physical characteristic when I was 17 years old. I am still that person. My DNA is the same. My IQ is probably already fixed. It didn't, you know, materially change, I'm sure. I didn't get any taller. God knows I didn't get any better looking. Nothing changed about me from age 17 to age 60 except one thing. The way I viewed me. I started looking at me as maybe I could do that. Maybe I was okay. Maybe I could accomplish that. My very first hurdle after that conversation with Kathy was to take the GED test.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to pass the GED test, you have to be slightly smarter than a bottle of water. I mean, it's not a hard test. But for me, it was like graduating from Harvard. I had finally passed something, because in my life, the first 17 years, I never passed a test, and I'm not exaggerating. I have a hearing aid in each ear. I'm essentially deaf, and nobody knew that until I tried to enlist in the Marine Corps, and they told me I was deaf in one ear and couldn't hear out of the other. So all my school years, most of the time, I was just fooling around the back of the room because I didn't know what the heck they're talking about up there anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing changed except the way I viewed myself. And I was able to go from there, you know, series of steps. So it's kind of like back to Mary Ann. You can't just say, okay, now I have 500,000 customers in the Turks. No, I had to go take a GED. And then I had to find a way to get into college on probation. And then I had to stay on probation for 4 years. And I had to graduate with a C average. And then I had to figure out how to get into law school on probation. And I did. And then I flunked out of law school. And then I found a way to get back into law school. And then, back to Marianne, we have to keep trying things until we do succeed. And there is no one answer, and there's no easy answer. It's just us coming to grips with who we are, what we are, the way we are right now is good enough if we'll just
Absolutely.
Go apply it.
Absolutely.
And Bill, let me ask you this, because the one thing I haven't heard in any of the things that you've said, and we hear this from so many people that are successful, the one thing is I haven't heard you say anything about money being the driving force in anything that you've done.
It is.
And is that the mistake a lot of people make when they get out there, they look at the money being the driving force?
Tony, that thank you for bringing that up, because that is so obvious and so important and yet so overlooked. Almost all business people and entrepreneurs and people who want to become entrepreneurs, they start with, oh, I want to get rich. I want to have a big house. I want to drive a nice car. I want to be able to put my kids through good schools. I want to be able to take nice vacations. And those are all wonderful things, and I'm certainly not against them. But when you start focusing on the money side of life, mostly you end up making some pretty crappy business decisions. But if you were to reverse it, if you were to put service and quality and customer satisfaction and making it right for them and making it good for them and giving them value. And if money were absolutely second, if you were just to make your product and your service and your skill all about really being in integrity to make sure that you were doing some good for somebody, no matter what it is you're doing, I don't care if you're working at the car dealership and your job was to buff cars, then buff them good. Buff them so that somebody who walks by and sees that shiny new car will go, oh, my God, look at that car. Isn't that great? But most of us, we get it backwards, and we focus on how many dollars can I make and how much money can I get out of this thing and how long will it take me to get rich and how long before I get that car, that house, that vacation, or that education for my kids. If we would just do it the other way around, I can guarantee you from my own experience that whenever I made money, number one, the business didn't do well. Every single time I made the customer satisfaction number one, I made literally in one business $3.5 billion. $3.5 billion, starting with a $13,000 loan while I was in the middle of bankruptcy. The IRS had towed away my automobiles. I had a FICO score of 430, so I didn't have any of those good things going for me. I had all these negative things. But I started a company, a debt collection company, of all things, from my kitchen table, Kathy and me. And all we worried about was making sure people didn't suffer the way we had suffered, because remember I said we had just gone broke? We had essentially every bill collector in America calling us, and we knew how ugly they were and how mean they were and how sometimes even profane they were. And we got so mad about that, we said, why don't we start a debt collection company? Why don't we do it right? Why don't we do it the way it should be done? Why don't we do it and treat people with dignity and respect? Oh, yeah, we'll still collect from them, but let's treat them with dignity and respect while we're doing it. And so she and me borrowed $13,000. We started on our kitchen table in Muskogee, Oklahoma, which is almost nowhere, and grew it into a 3,900-employee company. And we never – worth $3.5 billion, and we never once did it for the money. We did it to change an industry. We did it to make people's lives better. And as a result, when you do it for the right reason, the money shows up.
That's what I just typed in the chat room. And you know, I'm glad Tony mentioned that, because that's one of the many different – traits or many different agreements that Tony and I believe in, is the belief that we share, is that the money will come. You have
always
to focus on your passion. You have to focus on your love. You have to focus on what you can give out to others, because it always comes back to you.
Well, hey, Kathy, it does, and I don't care whether you get it out of the Bible or the Quran or the Talmud or whatever book you happen to read, the more you give, the more you get. I mean, that is a universal principle of mankind, that the more you give, the more you get. So we ought to be really busy giving.
Absolutely. And I meet a lot of people in my business and they always tell me that, you know, you are so giving and you're so wonderful. And And I love it. It's not because I'm trying to, you know, be this great whatever. I just love what I do. And when someone else can benefit from something that I have provided or some assistance that I have given them, hey, my job's done.
Oh, you know, what a great feeling to bump into people whom you've made a difference in their life by just, doing something that maybe you think and I think is inconsequential, insignificant, not very important, and, gee, that was simple. And yet to somebody else, it's kind of like those words Kathy told me. I mean, just words, just a half a dozen of them.
Right.
But, boy, a half a dozen words that move my soul.
And you know, it's so funny because when I think about it, and I've done this and told several people this story, but when and Kathy knows this story because we talked about how we started the idea of being motivational speakers and working with people. But for me, I started a youth motivational service
mm-hmm.
because it was designed to get young people to understand that they were worthy and that they were worth something regardless of their circumstances, where they came from, because growing up in a single-parent household and going through the things that I did, mm-hmm. I had to understand that. But what was so amazing is people always ask me how much I charged, and I hadn't even thought about it. I just said, I want to do it. I just want to go in, and I want to speak, and I want to share my story, and hopefully my story will help some young people. And I became so busy that I had to start charging. And I remember saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to charge, but please just help me make a decision what I'm supposed to do. So I just threw a figure out to a client one day, and it was an arbitrary figure, and they said, I thought you were going to charge us a whole lot more than that. So then from that point, I started charging the figure
that they
threw
out. Yeah.
And it just continued that way. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I love doing it. To this day, I still love doing it. And whether I charge for it or I don't charge for it, whether I'm talking to one child or 1,000 children, and probably in my career I've spoken to about 500,000 kids, the thing that's amazing to me is I still get that feel. I still get that energy. It's like $1 billion times $1 billion all in one sitting. It's an amazing feeling.
Tony, what it is, and I think everybody on this phone can appreciate it because we're coming to that season. You know, when a parent watches their child open a gift on Christmas morning, the parent is beaming. The parent is full of joy. The parent is going, isn't this cool? You know, Johnny or Susie or Tommy or Mary is opening their present. And we're watching the joy on our child's face. Now, we as a parent, we're not getting the gift. There's nothing in that box for us. But watching them when they get something, that's why you and Kathy and me and some people like us, that's what we get every day of our life. Every day is Christmas because we're watching people open a gift we've given them. And the value we get from watching them open the gift we've given them is more valuable than anything they could ever do to, with, or for us. Now don't get mislead me or misread me. Money is cool. I like money. I think money is like really, really neat. And the more you have, that's good. I'm okay with that. Being filthy, stinking, rich is okay. But let's make sure we get there the right way.
Right.
And I just want to add, because, I mean, you guys are just really singing my song, and you're talking my story. You're talking my story. I want our listeners to understand that if you go for it from a money perspective and you try to pitch if you have a business plan out of this world and you try to pitch it to somebody, that's going to come across in your presentation. They're going to feel that you're after the money. But
yep.
If you go in it with passion and energy and love and desire for what you're going to do, I can guarantee you, because it's happened to me.
Oh, enthusiasm.
It's happened to me. I have been up against people that were much more qualified than me. But my passion and my energy and my delivery and how I came across, they were like, oh, yeah, we want you.
Yeah, well, Kathy, I get that. I mean, I imagine that most of the people I compete with in every business I've ever been in are smarter than I am, probably better
Absolutely.
Educated than I am, better academic degrees than I have, and God knows they probably had a different lifestyle than I grew up in. So I assume they have all that going for them, but the thing that I have over my corner, and then we control it, you and me and everybody on this call, we control it. It's called enthusiasm. It's called belief. It's called passion. It's called vision. It's called, but this is why I want to do it. Now, when they get around to talking about the money side and say, well, how much money do you need? What are you going to do with it? How's it going to work? When do I get my investment back? Oh, yeah, we need to know those answers too. But we need to have the vision and the passion out front.
Yep. Absolutely, absolutely. Because I have been up against people that were charging a lot less than me, and they could have got the same thing. But, I mean, they want that quality. They want that passion. They want that energy. They want to know that their people are going to walk away with something more than just information.
Well, absolutely. You know? Let's take it back to Marianne. Marianne's product, Marianne's goods, the thing that she will be selling to people. You know, yeah, finding the money isn't hard. You need a business plan. You need to be able to say some things. But the product is what she needs to be on fire about. That what it can do and how it's going to help people and the change it's going to make in their life. And, oh, yeah, by the way, here are the economics, and this is the way the economics work. But she needs to be on fire. And enthused, I'm not talking about giddy, wearing a cheerleader costume and throwing pom-poms up in the air and acting stupid like, Richard Simmons in a sweat away to the oldies kind of thing. But she at least has to be, enthused about what it is she's doing and be able to articulate clearly the value that people are going to get out of using whatever it is she's selling.
Absolutely. And Bill, we're coming down to 4 minutes, so I want to make sure I get this in. I want to type your URL, your website, into my chat room so everyone can go and visit your site and look at some of your wonderful articles and information that you have listed
there.
So you're at BillBartman.com.
Well, that, I have two websites, one is BillBartman.com, so www.BillBartmann.com. That's one. And the other one is BillionaireU.com. And BillionaireU is my new way of teaching, my new way of communicating.
That's BillionaireU, the letter U.
Correct. BillionaireU, like in university. So it'd be BillionaireU, letter U.com. And those, if you looked on either one of those two, you'd find out everything you wanted to know about me and probably some stuff you really don't need to know, but what the heck. And you'd find out what I'm up to and what's going on. And I would be honored, humbled, and flattered if anybody even cared.
Well, you have really been a huge inspiration. And everything you said, I am absolutely not surprised, because every single millionaire that I have met, every millionaire that I will meet and come across, has the exact same mindset, passion, feel, and love for life and love for your work, the same as you. And people, if you don't hear anything else that Bill has said, that I've said, that Tony has said this evening, please love what you do and allow it to show and go for that. Don't go for the money. The money will come.
Well, you can't make money, serious money, doing something you don't love.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let's go figure out what it is we're good at. What do we have a skill for? What do we have an attribute for? What's our experience? What do we know something about? And I don't care. I mean, we talked about Richard Simmons. Here's a guy that knows how to do jumping jacks, and he's made millions of dollars. Tony Hawk, he skateboards. He made millions of dollars. I mean, you say, well, gee, I don't have a PhD. Okay, you don't. Big deal. PhD. Well, I think that stands for public high school diploma. Yeah, okay, got it. Whatever you do have is good enough. Go with what you have right now. Go with what you love and figure out how to do it really, really good, and you will get rewarded handsomely.
Right.
That's absolutely correct. So we're coming up on the last 60 seconds. Bill, we want to thank you ever so kindly for your wonderful comments and gracing us with your presence this evening on our show. And we may even try to have you back sometime.
Kathy and Tony, you guys are great. Thank you so very much. I've enjoyed the hour with you. God bless both of you.
God
bless you too, sir. And thank you, Tony, and thank you to all our listeners for joining us this evening. And we are going to sign off for now. Join us next week as we talk about the pack rat syndrome, which will be very helpful. So thank you, guys. I'm Kathy Holloway-Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we will see you same time next week. Good night, everyone.